que es a representation from the department. And I like the fact that they are here on an observer status, because this is a meeting between ourselves and the Auditor General. Our meeting is a bit delayed because of technical problems. Not even a glitch, it's a problem. And the presentations as such won't be flighted on the screen. And there's a provision for the honorable members to get hard copies. If we brought our gadgets, they can supplement that, because the presentation was sent to all of us prior to the meeting. Let me welcome the AG, which is here to present a report about the department. Our support team, welcome all of you. I'm going to allow Mr. Boltina to present the apologies, and then we will continue with our meeting. We have a very marathonic day today, because after this meeting, we're going to receive a presentation from the department as well. So we'll need that break in between. Honorable Boltina, can you please present
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair, and honorable members, and the rest of the colleagues, and from the office of the AG. Chair, the apologies that we have today for this morning are as follows. Honorable Trego is not here. Chairperson, she's not attending. Honorable Mieni, he's not attending. Honorable Sitole is not attending. Honorable De Freitas is also not coming. Chairperson, and Honorable Gombe as well is also not attending. Then the rest of the committee members are here, are present. Chairperson, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Boltina. Too many apologies. I a reflection of the fact that today marks our first meeting physically, and I'm hoping that we are going to get to the physical meetings, because there is no longer a COVID now. So not unless there are pressing issues that will lead us back to virtual meetings. So we are going to accept those apologies on that point. I'm going to allow the team from the AG to present the report. But before presenting the report, I would ask you to introduce yourselves so that we know who you are and be able to move seamlessly. Over to you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Good morning, honorable members, as well as management. Just before we kick start in terms of our presentation, I just want to thank you for affording us this opportunity to brief the committee on the tourism portfolio outcomes. I will introduce my team. I will first start with myself. I am Nombagamo, I'm a Tanzania. I'm the business unit leader that looks after the tourism portfolio, amongst others. We also look at the finance portfolio, transport portfolio, interrelations portfolio. And my with Sipesihle Langeni, who is the audit senior manager on the tourism portfolio audit, and he will be the one who's going to take us through the detailed presentation today. And then on the far left is Nicholas Mokwena, who's the deputy business unit leader for the tourism portfolio. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Can you continue? Thank you so much for that. Just before I hand over to the position to provide us with the insights or elevate our messages for the audit outcomes, I just want us to get just a little bit of a background and opening remarks from myself. I think we all understand that the tourism portfolio is one of the sectors that literally have played a critical role in terms of contributing to the South African economy, and particularly to the job creation and also upliftment of youth and women. So it is quite a critical portfolio. However, we are aware that it has been heavily affected by the COVID-19 in some of the areas to achieve its mandate. With that in mind, therefore the Auditor General, when he came in, the new Auditor General, wanted us to deliberate extensively on our audit outcomes. Were these audit outcomes really translated to service delivery? And then she came out with our strategy that we recently adopted, which she called it a Culture Shift 2030 strategy. And this strategy, as Inter General, we want to elevate our message. We want to see how can we step up on the work that we're currently doing, and most importantly, how can it have an impact in the ordinary citizens of the country. So we see in our presentation today, we've looked on the core mandate of the portfolio, the tourism portfolio, how this translates to their plans in terms of their review processes to ensure that to the extent that there is gaps in what they are achieving and what they are measuring and also on the core mandate, we can edit those messages to the committee to make them aware so that they can be able to exercise their accountability process. So we'll get into deeper and provide those insights specifically on the achievement of the targets of the key portfolio. We also have some recommendations which we think are tailored for both management, the accounting authority, as well as the portfolio committee to assist in elevating those decisions and make sure the accountability process is effective. And then without further ado and also wasting the time, I'll now hand over to Mr. Sihle Langeni, who will deliver the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will be presenting the outcomes. And I will start with slide number 2, Honourable Chairperson. Slide number 2 will reflect on our mission as the Auditor General. And key to note in the mission of the Auditor General is that we have the responsibility and the mandate to enable oversight. And the reason why we are here today is to provide the audit outcomes of the tourism portfolio so that we can assist the community in terms of information around the root causes, the audit outcomes, and our recommendations. That will enable the oversight structure, being the tourism portfolio committee, to be able to exercise its oversight over the department and the South African tourism. And as far as our vision is concerned, for us as the Auditor General to remain relevant, we need to be on a continuous basis, be able to assist the committee in enabling the oversight that I just spoke to over the public sector institution, which is the Department of Tourism in this instance, and South African Tourism. Honourable Chairperson, on slide number 3, I will reflect on the accountability ecosystem. What is this accountability ecosystem? It is a network of stakeholders within the portfolio of tourism, but also including support and oversight structures. The portfolio committee is part of the support and oversight structures, and it's reflected on the right side of the accountability system. For the department and the entity to to achieve its desired impact, it's important that each and every party to this accountability system ecosystem plays their role. The roles are emanating either from a legislative or a moral perspective. On the left-hand side of the accountability system, we have officials, senior management, the accounting officer, and executive authority who are involved in daily activities of the department. On the right-hand side, we have the support structures, the portfolio committee, and SCORPA, who from time to time engage with the portfolio in terms of oversight, ensuring that the achievement of targets is happening, monitoring activities around the achievement of targets, providing assistance and oversight responsibilities. And we also have national executive leadership from a cabinet perspective. We also have structures such as public service and administration, national treasury, the planning and monitoring and evaluation department, which are instrumental in compliance matters, in planning and monitoring matters, as well as matters relating to services of conditions of employment. At the core of the accountability system, Honorable Chairperson, is the citizens of the country who are an important beneficiary to the accountability system. At the center of this accountability system is the Auditor General. And as I've spoken about the insights that we need to share with the committee to enable accountability and oversight, we may strive to ensure that we influence the committee to exercise oversight so that there is shift in the public sector culture, so that the public sector moves closer and closer to that is achieving its intended outcomes, its intended impact in terms of service delivery, and ensuring that the promises that have been made in all the plans, from the national development plan, medium-term strategic framework, to annual performance plans, and any other plans, quarterly plans that the department and the entity would need to achieve. So that influence that we create through insights that we provide to all the relevant stakeholders. But with the added power that we're given to the Auditor General, we do get to a point where if there is no response, we can then move to a step of enforcing what needs to be enforced in terms of recovery of losses, if there are losses to the state, or prevention of further losses where there's ongoing losses that could be had. I'll move on to the next slide, which is slide number 4, reflecting the audit outcomes over the administration term. So the first year of administration being the 2018-19 financial year, the audit outcomes for the portfolio were as follows. One, entity being South African Tourism had an unqualified finding. The department had been qualified in that financial year, and the qualification was linked to EPWP project, more specifically the Fruitless and Waste School expenditure, which was found to be complete. And then in the following year, there was an improvement with the department achieving unqualified with findings. And then in 2020-21, there was a regression by South African Tourism, which we presented to this committee in the prior around the challenges that the entity was experiencing on the completeness of expenditure that was paid by third parties. South African Tourism has since improved and has an unqualified with findings opinion together with the Department of Tourism. So overall, there has been an improvement in the audit outcomes for the portfolio, although there was a slight reduction in the prior reported. From the prior year to the current year, the improvement is due to the improvement in South African Tourism, as I've mentioned, Honorable Chairperson. And I'll move on to slide number 6. The overall audit outcomes have improved, Honorable Chairperson. The Department of Tourism has an unqualified with findings audit opinion. South African Tourism had a qualification in the prior and that has since improved. The issue of the prior year was that of the completeness of expenditure payments from third parties. The improvement was largely due to effectiveness of the action plan and effective governance structure that was placed to monitor the implementation of the action plan. When it comes to expenditure management, Honorable Chairperson, we have seen a significant decrease in European expenditure from 21.29 million in the prior to 8.6 million. And the biggest contributor to that irregular expenditure is South African tourism. And it would therefore be important, Honorable Chairperson, that the accounting authority of South African tourism implement preventative controls to ensure that instances of irregular expenditure and non-compliance with laws and regulations, particularly those that relate to procurement, are prevented. Key to note also, Honorable Chairperson, is that the department did not ensure new instances of irregular expenditure. And the accounting officer is commended for that improvement. Furthermore, our assessment of irregular expenditure in terms of the contravention of constitutional provisions of fairness, competitiveness, transparency, and equity was performed, and we found that more than 50% of the instances of irregular expenditure were related to procurement processes. Then 19% were not fair, 17% were not transparent, and 10% not equitable. Moving on to slide number 7, our assessment of principles management is that the portfolio does take principles management, and we also attribute that to the role that the oversight structure in the portfolio committee plays or exercises over the department and the entity around strengthening accountability and principles management. And when it comes to quality of financial statements, Honorable Chairperson, we did note concerns around the quality of submitted financial statements, both from the Department of Tourism and South African Tourism. At the Department of Tourism, there were material adjustments around incorrect treatment of intangible assets, and South African Tourism, there were errors on the financial statements, there were inconsistencies, and the presentation was not aligned to the financial reporting standard in terms of how the financial statement should be presented. Therefore, there is a need that the accounting authority and accounting officer strengthen processes around the preparation of the financial statements and the review processes that needs to be undertaken prior to the financial statements being submitted to the Auditor General for audit. But what is also important, Honorable Chairperson, is that internal structures such as internal audit and audit committee needs to play a vital role in ensuring that the process around the quality of financial statements is adequate and that they review the financial statements so that they are free from material misstatements. With regards to quality of annual performance report, we did note some improvements around the credibility of the annual performance report submitted by the entity in the department. The department submitted an annual performance report that was free from material misstatement. The annual report was found to be useful and reliable. However, with South African Tourism, there was a material misstatement identified relating to number of domestic sales-driven campaigns, as the number that was reported was not aligned to the evidence that was submitted to the audit team. That misstatement was subsequently corrected, and hence then there was no material finding raised on the annual performance report of South African Tourism. Slide number 8, financial viability. Overall, the financial health of the portfolio was found to be good. It has improved from the prior year, and that is commendable in terms of financial management and financial discipline. From a governance perspective, we did note an instability at leadership level, with the CFO position having remained vacant until beginning of this month, the Department of Tourism, and the Chief Executive Officer position remains vacant at South African Tourism from the 1st of June 2021. So it has been vacant for over a year. The COO position did become vacant halfway through the financial year, but it was filled subsequent to the financial year. What we are recommending is that the filling of vacant position needs to happen in a timely manner to ensure that there is credible stability. Stability is only to achieve if these roles are filled with individuals that meet the criteria, that have the right experience and the right qualification. Information technology, there were improvements at National Department of Tourism that we observed. The IT environment in that space is matured, as there has been formal processes around the quality of the IT environment and the checks that needs to be met in terms of quality standards. However, South African Tourism, there are still some gaps around the IT environment, and we have the command that those matters need to be addressed in a timely manner. The NDP had put in place a plan to address them by end of September 2022. So this is one matter that we will follow up on in the next quarter. The next slide would be slide number 10. This is under portfolio performance. So our observation, Honorable Chairperson, as my colleague has pointed out earlier on, the role that the tourism industry plays in the economy is vital through job creation, through contribution to the GDP, and support that is provided to the tourism sector. And our observation is that the role that tourism plays is crucial and is reflected in the National Development Plan and the medium-term goals of government in the form of medium-term strategic framework, particularly around economic transformation and job creation. Then when we look at performance against medium-term targets and other performance reports, while we noted the alignment of the strategic plan and the annual performance plan of the department and the entity with those of the medium-term and the long-term goals of government. We noted, however, that the tourism portfolio is slightly behind in terms of achievement of the medium-term goals of government, and this is largely due to COVID-19 pandemic, which had a significant impact on the tourism industry. But also noting that we have now come out of the state of disaster, and we can only look forward and hope that there would be a significant improvement in the tourism sector with the lifting of all restrictions that have taken place throughout this calendar year. The priority of the tourism portfolio in the 2021-22 financial year was that of the revival of the economy. And the tourism portfolio featured on the economic recovery plan of government. And it is thus important that when one looks at that implementation, one assesses whether the department was able to achieve its target, considering its contribution to the recovery plan of government. Then on slide number 11, the achievement of targets at National Department of Tourism. The department achieved 40% of its targets that were reflected in the annual performance plan. And those targets that we achieved related to pilot programs to support women in tourism, particularly in the Limpopo province, specifically in Mbembe and Mopani district, the compensation of tour guides and the enrollment of women in tourism in an executive development program. There was also a program around the compensation and training of SMEs, where the department overachieved. The achievement was 249 SMEs that were capacitated in terms of training, norms, and standards. And that related mainly to COVID-19, the restrictions and standards of safety that needed to be implemented at that point in time. Also, there was a career expo that was hosted by the department towards the end of the financial year in Nazareth, which is also instrumental in terms of future growth and job opportunities that needs to be created going forward in the tourism sector. However, we noted, Honorable Chairperson, that the department did not achieve 11 targets overall, and the targets that we not achieve related mainly to the upliftment of small businesses, upliftment of women in tourism, and the creation of jobs for youth and women particularly. Our assessment is that, Honorable Chairperson, the reasons for non-achievement or underachievement of these targets were largely due to procurement challenges that the department encountered. But also there was challenges around legal processes that the department had to go through. And specifically, I'll touch on each reason for each indicator that was not achieved later on in the presentation. The first indicator that was not achieved is tourism equity fund, which is halted due to a court interdict that has been put by certain parties. And the delay in terms of the implementation of this fund is that of transformation, and the intended purpose was to achieve transformation through the implementation of this fund. And slide number 12, the indicator around the incubation program to support SMEs was not fully achieved. and this related to the element of community-based enterprise incubation program, which was not implemented. The reason for this was likely due to activities that needed to be undertaken prior to the implementation of this community-based enterprise program. The next indicator, Honorable Chairperson, is supporting of 25 women tourism businesses in each province. This indicator was underachieved by the department with a total number of 44 women in terms of underachievement. There was a strong emphasis on prioritizing women in Gauteng, and this was done also to mitigate the risk of dropout in other rural provinces. It will be important that the accounting officer closely monitor the implementation of a strategy to overcome underachievement in as far as women are concerned, that the upliftment of women will ultimately achieve the transformation of the country. And then implementation of tourism monitors program. This program was implemented except for the province of the reasons around this was largely due to procurement challenges that were encountered by the department. Again, this does have an impact in terms of transformation and job creation. And what we're recommending, Honorable Chairperson, is that the procurement processes should be adequately planned to prevent non-achievement due to delays in procurement processes. So the area of planning for procurement activities such that they do not have an impact on achievement of targets is an area that needs to be closely monitored. Implementation of food safety quality assurance program was implemented except for the province of KwaZulu-Natal. Again, the issue in this underachievement is that of procurement. Therefore, it is important that procurement is closely monitored. Training of chefs in norms and standards of the industry, as well as implementation of the youth program to train youth in tourism industry. These two indicators were not achieved, or were underachieved rather. For example, if you look at the training of chefs, it was implemented throughout the country except in the province of Northwest. And the hospitality youth program was implemented except for six provinces, being Gauteng, Northwest, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and KZN and Free State. The reasons for these two indicators to be underachieved was due to legal processes that were ongoing, specifically around the issue of the implementation of the preferential procurement policy framework, which had been found to be unconstitutional by the Constitutional Court in February 2017. Therefore, there was a restriction that was imposed by National Treasury in terms of procurement activities from that day onwards. And South African tourism, 73% of the targets were met. I am now on slide number 14. The key priority of South African tourism is to make South Africa as a preferred tourist destination, and it was also instrumental in the recovery of the tourism sector. We noted that the entity was able to host the Africa Travel and Tourism Summit, which was held in absence of the Africa Travel Indaba, which could not be hosted due to COVID-19. And that was a good platform to come up with strategies and solve challenges going forward, and ensuring that we market South Africa as a preferred tourist destination. And then in terms of the number of day trips, specifically around targets that were not achieved at South African tourism, the number of day trips was one of the targets, and that is likely due to COVID-19 restrictions, which were still in place at the end of the financial year, and those were lifted post year end. Those restrictions did have a negative impact in terms of the number of day trips undertaken by South Africans within the country. So that's more looking at domestic tourism activities. The brand strength index was not implemented in South African tourism. The reason for the non-achievement in this regard relates to the procurement process that had not been completed at year end. The issue around the brand strength index is that the country is not in a position to assess where it is in terms of its ability to attract tourists in the country. As the brand strength index would give the country an indication in terms of the strategies that would need to be undertaken to attract more tourists to the country. Next slide, things like number 15 deals with performance. I have touched on the achievement of targets, so I'll move on to slide number 16, which deals with performance against targets. Honorable Chairperson, I have earlier on touched on the achievement of MTSF targets in the tourism portfolio, that these are measured in terms of the contribution of the portfolio to the GDP, direct contribution of tourism to job creation, international tourist arrival, total tourist foreign direct spend, so the amount of spending that foreign tourists incur in the country and various tourist establishments, as well as domestic holiday trips. The key targets that were not achieved, which I discussed earlier on, Honorable Chairperson, do have a negative impact in terms of service delivery, but also looking at issues of transformation in the tourism industry, lack of support for small, medium, micro enterprises in the tourism industry, lack of support for women in tourism, particularly in the rural provinces, and lack of job creation. When it comes to the brand strength index, the challenge around not having that survey being conducted or the underachievements in that regard is that the tourism portfolio will not be in a position to apply strategies to improve the South African brand, as they will not be in a position to know where exactly the country stands in terms of the ability to attract tourists to the country. And then domestic tourism is still under pressure due to lack of support by South Africans. There is an issue of economic challenges that South Africans are facing following COVID-19 pandemic. I'll then move on to employment initiatives. Slides 17 and 18 pretty much deal with the issues that I've discussed around targets that we have achieved. So I'll move on to slide number 20. The tourism industry, particularly NTT, participated in the presidential employment stimulus package, which was implemented in October 2021, although the intention was to implement it at the beginning of the financial year, meaning from the 1st of April 2021. The target was to create 1,162 jobs, however, only 919 were created, and that is 79% of the number of jobs that were to be created at the beginning of the year. Our assessment and based on engagements with the department was that the cause for not achieving this target was due to funds being made available halfway through the financial year rather than at the beginning, as envisaged at the beginning of the year. Of the 108 million budget that was approved for this initiative, 105.9 million had been spent and 79% of the target has been achieved. So there is a disjunction there around the percentage of jobs created versus the budget spending on the initiative. What we've recommended is that going forward, there needs to be an improvement in terms of coordination between all parties involved when such packages or such programs are being implemented, and that going forward, there needs to be an increased focus on more sustainable jobs rather than jobs that are short-term in nature. Expanded Public Work Program, slide number 21. This is a program that the department has been implementing for quite some time. The number of jobs that were to be created under this program for 2021-22 was 3,826, and the department overachieved and created 5,328 jobs with an overachievement of 1,502 jobs. The reason for the overachievement was that because of COVID, there was underspending in the previous year, so there were more funds available for construction activity to happen in the 2021-2022, hence there was an overperformance in this regard. Then when it comes to material irregularities, Honorable Chairperson, the MI process will be implemented in the tourism portfolio in the coming financial year, which is the financial year that we're already in, 2022-2023. At this stage, we have not identified any material irregularities in the tourism portfolio. What is important is that the powers that have been given to the Auditor General on the public pool act amendment specifically relating to material irregularities is that of one, referring material irregularities to relevant oversight bodies, two, recommend actions to resolve material irregularities in a board report, and or take binding remedial action for failure to implement recommendations, and lastly, if all the recommendations and binding action is not implemented, then a certificate of debt will then be issued. The issuing of the certificate of debt is the last step if all processes fail in terms of recovery of money to the state. The key intention of this material irregularity process is to recover all money that has been lost by the state. Right? So it is not to put people in jail, etc. Slide number 24 deals with detailed responsibilities of the accounting officer, accounting authority, as well as the accounting authority and the oversight structure in the portfolio committee around the MI process. So when the MI process has been implemented, the unnecessary steps that would need to be taken in as far as each party's role is concerned around dealing with the material irregularities, or referral to public body where appropriate, or if the recommendation has been included in the auditor's report. The last step being the remedial action being issued. Then on the next slide, financial impact and financial management and compliance. We've provided that information for illustration purposes in terms of assessing what are the controls that are not in place and what is the impact of that, Honorable Chairperson, and the ability of the department and the entity to implement those controls and the outcome around the control. If you look at the image that has been projected on slide 23, you will note that in terms of proper record keeping, South African tourism does not have challenges there, but the department does have concerns. We do have concerns around the proper managing of documentation at the department. Daily and monthly controls are in place both at South African Tourism and Department of Tourism. In-year and year-end reporting is a challenge of both at South African Tourism and at the department, and I've spoken to this issue later on around the quality of financial statements. And then the issue of compliance is an issue more severely at South African Tourism. The other slide that I wanted to deal with, Honorable Chairperson, is that of the regular expenditure, which is on slide number 29. So over the years, we have seen a gradual decrease in terms of the regular expenditure that is incurred in the portfolio. However, the fact that there's still regular expenditure of 8.6 million in the portfolio remains a cause for concern. And it will be important that preventative controls are implemented to ensure that going forward, instances of the regular expenditure are eliminated completely. In terms of the breakdown for irregular expenditure, in terms of the five pillars that I spoke to earlier on, from entity perspective, there was an issue of two concessions not obtained, 150,000 rand. South African Tourism contributed 4.47 in terms of competitiveness of the procurement process, and this is largely due to the I Do Tourism campaign that was implemented in previous years by the department, where an investigation report revealed that the procurement process that was due to be undertaken was not undertaken. And then under finance, there is a matter around the multi-year contract that is in place at the Department of Tourism, where an amount of 1.65 million of irregular expenditure was incurred. So this is a contract that was confirmed to be irregular in the prior year, but because of the length of the contract, the NGA department is still carrying irregular expenditure. Therefore, you will continue to see irregular expenditure coming from that contract due to the nature and the length of the contract. At South African Tourism, around equity, there was an instance where preference point systems were not applied correctly, and the value was 850,000 rand. And then the last part of the irregular expenditure around transparency, where South African Tourism incurred 1.5 million on a partnership arrangement which had not been approved by a properly delegated committee. Then the slide on consequence management being slide number 50 reflect the movement in terms of the closing balance of the regular expenditure, more particular on the regular expenditure balance of the prior year and how it has been dealt with in the current year. Of the 81.28 million of the regular expenditure balance of the prior year, 34.93 has been written off, and the write-off by the department followed the investigation that was conducted on the expenses of the regular expenditure and the submissions that were then made to National Treasury after consequence management was implemented, and then National Treasury recommended that the regular expenditure can be written off. Therefore, the write-off did follow a process where consequence management had to be implemented. The last part on consequence management, which is consequence management in progress around irregular expenditure from the prior year, which has not been removed or condoned. It relates to investigations that are currently in progress and consequence management processes which are in progress, which are expected to be completed during this 2022-23 financial year. In terms of the contributors to irregular expenditure that is still in the process of being undertaken through consequence management, South African Tourism is the biggest contributor under the market, contributing to 97% of irregular expenditure that is undergoing consequence management. Then, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of our recommendation, we have reflected in the slide the recommendations to the accounting authority, the accounting officer, as well as commitments from the executive authority to improve the audit outcome, to improve the underachievement, the achievement of targets going forward. But most importantly, we reflect on the key messages to the portfolio committee in terms of what is it that needs to be done going forward to ensure that the portfolio moves closer and closer to clean administration, but most importantly, to a level where the achievement of targets, the service delivery objectives are met. Just a reflection in terms of what we had recommended in the prior, our recommendation in the prior was that the committee needs to exercise oversight over the implementation of action plans put in place by both the department and the entity, and monitor the follow-ups that needed to be undertaken around your plan expenditure and monitor progress in the recovery of relief funds and the impact of the objective of those relief efforts by government. And our reflection on what we had recommended based on what we have seen in the 2021-22 financial year is that, number one, there is an improvement in the overall audit outcomes due to South African tourism improving from the qualification that we had reported in the prior year. We've noted the significant reduction in irregular and frivolous and wasteful expenditure and the dedication that the portfolio does have in terms of consequence management and accountability. And we've seen some progress in terms of the funds, the covering, engagements that are ongoing with various organs of state around the recovery of funds that were paid to beneficiaries that were not supposed to get these funds, as well as engagements around verification of the status of the citizenship of the beneficiaries who are found to have been individuals with blank ID numbers or individuals with invalid ID numbers. Going forward, we recommend that the committee monitor and regularly follow up with the executive authority, the accounting officer, and the accounting authority on the progress in development and implementation of the audit action plan. Number two, what is crucial is the monitoring of implementation of preventative controls to prevent instances of non-compliance with supply chain management prescripts. And then lastly, the monitoring around the achievement of targets and the implementation of a strategy to catch up on targets which the portfolio is achieving. And this can be done through quarterly interactions that the portfolio has with the department and the entity. If they submit their quarterly performance report, it will be important that the monitoring does happen to identify areas where the department or the entity is not achieving its targets. This brings us to the end of our presentation on Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to hand over back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Professor Sir, for the presentation. And Honourable Chair, I will thank you for the section.
Thank you so much. Such a comprehensive presentation. Hoping honourable members have noted as you were presenting. I'm going to allow for the deliberation. Honourable Rudy, Honourable Gomba, Honourable Sitole, who's Honourable Madumba, okay, Honourable Madumba, those are three hands. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to what is the general purpose for the presentation. The first question that I have is in terms of the tourism relief funds and the double payments and other irregular findings with regards to duplicates, as the people that didn't actually qualify, how much of those funds have been recouped, or is that part of the funds that were written off, and how much of that was written off? I think this was on the slide. In terms of consequence management, dealing with irregular expenditure, 54.93 million written off. Yeah, so what portion of that was attributed to the irregular expenditure that was picked up in terms of the tourism refund? Then, are there any audit findings from the previous year that have not yet been resolved? So are there recurrent findings in this year? And how many are recurrent findings? What issues are you actually picking up in terms of failing controls by the internal auditing authority? Because I see there's quite a few instances of procurement issues, and these seem to be recurrent findings. And if the audit committee, internal audit committee, is unable to address these every time they are picked up, then what exactly is lacking in terms of that auditing authority that's internal, that they aren't able to address this issue of procurement, for example, and other recurring issues once and for all? Give me 1 second. Working between two documents here. Yeah. So what are the shortcomings of that internal audit committee that you have observed? Then I think on page 3 of this document, where there's a sort of organogram of how the accountability ecosystem works, there's a link here between the internal audit and audit committee and the accounting officer. So I just need to understand the relationship between the internal audit unit and the audit committee. What does this exactly mean, this part of the document? Is anything else of the follow-up? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity, Honourable Chair, and greetings to the team of the Auditor General and the DNC. That by appreciating the presentation. Honourable Chair, my question here is about the reoccurrences that were noted by the Office of the Auditor General. How many of the previous occurrences
are still appearing to the current report that you have now, so that we are able to see whether the department is improving indeed in terms of correcting their mistakes in the project, which happened in the previous years. Because when you generalize those mistakes or reoccurrences, then we are not aware of which particular occurrences are really occurring, continuing to occur. Also, I know that in the previous years, I noted the material misstatements as an occurrence that happened even in the previous years. And I see it being one of them that are occurring. And that is where actually the core of the audit actually concentrates particularly on that area of the misstatements and how you account. It shows your weaknesses in terms of your filing and how you put your documents and how you compile information for the Auditor General to perform his duties in an easy and accountable manner. So how did you manage to find this? Yes, I'm happy with the unqualified audit that became your that actually became the outcome of the audit. But it will be very much difficult to understand how it happens when the misstatements continue to be the factor that hinders your audit process. There's also a statement which I listened to as there was a presentation here to say that there's no alignment of material with the misstatement. I don't know if I was correct. I correctly understood that the alignment with the statement in some of the statements is not proper. So it's under the what do you call it? It's just that at the edges of the pages, so you cannot follow what was said. But it says financial statements, the quality of submitted annual statements is an area of concern for the tourism portfolio. As statements were made to the financial statements that were submitted for audit for both NGT and King, for both ADT and SAT. It worries me if both departments are having the same problem. So I get very much worried about that and the alignment of their work as the report is saying here. Also, there is an area which I am very much concerned, and I saw even the office of the Auditor General raised it. The percentage which was utilized in terms of spending, which was about, I'm trying to get the page, but the page here, it shows that there is 80% spent versus 79% of work done. And I find that is it 98% of money spent? I'm not sure, but there's a page here. I'm trying to find it. You see, the pages are not numbered, so as we page, we find it difficult to quickly get the paragraph. Yes. And I find it not making sense, Honorable Chair. Yes. Where you find 98% that was spent and only 75% was achieved in terms of job creation, and 98% was spent in order to actually achieve that goal of job creation. So how did they respond to this? As you asked them, please, the Auditor General, to say, how did you achieve 79% versus 98% spending on that same goal? So that's my main concern. you overspend, but you underperform. Let me say that in short. You overspend, but you underperform. What was the response? The other question, Honorable Chair, is about the relationship of the department itself with the risk committee. I think they should be having the structure in the department, as well as the internal audit of the department. As the Auditor General, did you manage to get the relationship status score of the department and the two departments I'm referring to here, as the risk as well as the internal audit? Are they functional? Is there any relationship that is doing the end? Also, as the AG, you are not only visiting these departments annually, you visit them quarterly, if I'm not mistaken, according to legislation. Now, as you go through these processes of auditing in the course of the year, do you make the department aware of areas which you are auditing quarterly, encouraging them and also shepherding them towards the goal of clean audit? Because we don't expect to hear results of negative and only, but also positive from your side as well, to say your role is not only to tick the X, but also assist to make that those X's tend to be the right. What role did you play to ensure that we get the improvement in terms of the outcomes of the report itself? That is what I'm having interest in, to check. And which ones did you show them along the way, and did they comply with them, or they still didn't actually comply, even though you have shown or noted those areas to be of concern from your side? Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Colleagues, my name is Matumba Anthony. I am replacing Honorable Belani Moteka. It's my first time in the committee. Chair, I will start by all the role that we played on page 3. If you go to section 42, subsection 3 of the Constitution, it's very much clear that we represent the people. So we are the people. We are the eyes and the ears of the people in government. And the last paragraph make it clear that we do that by scrutinizing. The Constitution used the word scrutinizing and doing oversight on the work of the executive. And for us to be able to do that, it means as AG, you need to give us a clear picture of what is happening on the ground so that we can scrutinize and do oversight as per section 42, subsection 3. And also use section 55, subsection 2, paragraph B as oversight mechanism. Now, the first question is, every time we see financial statements, the first thing we ask is, who prepared these financial statements? Did they prepare them? Did they prepare those financial statements themselves, or they used consultants? If they used consultants, was there any skills that were shared? Because they can't keep on using consultants every time. So we need to know, are they able to do this by themselves, so that where there is room of to improve, that's where they can be proper advice. I see most of the things are saying procurement. The problem is just procurement. Now, you know, we need to know who is accountable for these mistakes. Because, you know, we in one municipality we used to lash at the mayor to say, but why are you not spending? Why are you not spending? Until we said, no, departments themselves, they must answer. Then we come to realize that user departments are not sending specific to the CFO. So as such, CFO can issue any tender. So the problem was at the user department. That is when we were able for user departments to account, then the municipality started to spend. So we need to know who is accountable for this thing. Because if you look at this, all this procurement, it's with items that deals with our people directly, community-based enterprise incubation. I mean, that's something that deals with our people directly. You can't get a problem when they say HR is unable to pay these people for 3 months. It will never happen. Just one day, if the salary missed by 5 hours, it is going to, heads will roll. But you can see that one thing that we are seeing here is unwillingness to do work. And we need to know who is this person who is not doing their work. So when you speak of procurement, it must also give up. Because, I mean, how do we say we have tourism when we can't even sell our own brand? Because that is what they were supposed to be doing. So it means the whole structure is going to work to pay themselves salaries, and that's it, because the role that they should have been doing, they're not doing. I mean, a brand, because if they don't sell a South African brand, then what is tourism? There's no tourism without selling the brand of giving us tourists. So that is something they should have been dealing with. Now, we need to know with jobs, are these jobs permanent or part-time? Because one municipality once said, we have created, with our LED, we've created 500 jobs. And when we asked about those jobs, they said, no, we hired 500 security during the show festival. And those were the jobs we were talking about. And the previous speaker was right. That money is it's a lot of money for not creating permanent jobs. We need, your recommendation is proper that we need to have permanent jobs. We'll rather create 100 permanent jobs than 1,000 jobs that are for 6 months. So we need that. Now, it also speaks to, it goes to that thing of procurement. If you look at job losses at the report, right, you will find that jobs losses is on formal sector. But informal sector increased in terms of jobs. So it means our people are able to create jobs in difficult conditions better than formal sector is there in the report. So, and we need to empower them. Lastly, what we need to know is do we have an organization here? Because, you know, it even speaks of these procurements. Are some of them necessary? Can't they do them themselves? I mean, some of the things, do we have? Because if you go and look at most of the organizations, you will find that there is a tendency now of spending around 50% of their budget on salaries. And when it comes to doing their work, there's nothing that is being done. If you see even the municipalities that are collapsing now, you will find that they spend most of their budget on salaries. So that is one of the things we want to see with their budget. How much are they spending on what? Because we want them to develop our people. Thanks.
Any other hand? Honorable Malay. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also acknowledge the presentation. I believe that the most members have covered the very critical question. Chair, as a matter of emphasis, I want to speak around the issue of the PSP. Well, Chairperson, my concern here is like the project process that was not followed. Because I do not understand as to how do you envisage to have a particular number of jobs without confirming if the funds will be enough or what. So, Chair, that will be my concern for now, and probably if you can be indeed told in clear terms that the plan was not followed accordingly. I believe any other matters, Chairperson, the department will be able to respond on some issues that we as members may have in terms of the report. Thank you, Chairperson.
I, Honourable Kong, keep that question as a follow-up. One to allow the AG to respond. The report which the AG tabled to the Portfolio Committee on the 9th of November 2021, some of the issues which were highlighted are still the case, and it bothers to get such a consistent negative reports. One, the misstatements it's occurring, the 94% of procurement processes which were not followed properly. I am not sure when you say 97% today is also attributed to that, as in of irregular expenditure in whatever is attributed to that. In some instances, issues of conflict of interest by senior officials also was highlighted to be among the causes of what we see in the department. And I don't think that as members we must be expected to be excited about the positiveness of the report itself, and withstand the fact that there are occurrences which are consistent that have been picked up by the Auditor General. The issue of the validity of beneficiaries and the municipal employees which benefited from the relief fund, it's not a new report to us. Deceased persons, wrong IDs, 100, and that has not been resolved to date, and next month it will be a year since we received such a report. Now, on your recommendations to the Portfolio Committee as the Auditor General, I saw nothing that suggests on how you want us to intervene on these particular issues which I have just highlighted. Irregular, wasteful, fruitless expenditure on that day was about 21.29 million, and I did not pick up as to this time around how much are the totals. of that. And the third thing, which was also highlighted on that day, was the fact that the CEO at the time of the report had left. So already we really need to get an advice or recommendation from you on how we should deal with matters of consistency that impact negatively to the finances of the department, such that we get all what you have just highlighted today. I'm going to allow you to respond to the contributions from the honorable members of the chair.
Thank you so much, Chair and the honorable members, for the questions. I will start with the questions based on the how they were asked, and allow my colleagues as well to fill the gap where I could not respond to the question. Just to start with the Honourable Mulda, you mentioned in terms of the tourism guide funds, if whether the way amounts that have been recouped, and if they would be part of the recoup fund in terms of the regular expenditure. What I can say in terms of the tourism guide fund is that there was the death and recovery process is currently underway. What has been recouped currently is 51,700, and what has not yet been recouped is 736,000, of which that process has been delayed because the department is currently engaging with the Department of Home Affairs to verify the beneficiary, status of the beneficiary that had invalid or the blank ID. So that process is still underway to recover more money. In terms of the audit findings that are occurring, which is also in terms of, I think, Honorable Gomba has also raised the recurring findings, and then how many are there, are those? If you look at the total recurring findings for both the department as well as the South African tourism department, out of the 17 findings, 6 of those are recurring for the department, which translates to the 38% that is recurring for the department. And then in terms of the South African tourism, we've got about 22 findings that are recurring, which translates to 68% is recurring for those findings. In terms of the shortcomings, I think the audit committee, as well as the internal audit, and I would also touch as well as one of the mood and also one of the Gomba, you also ask the question relating to the internal audit and the audit committee. Those are the three critical role players in this ecosystem or to ensuring that the department as well as the South African tourism entity, the controls are in place, are quite embedded within the system. So they are very critical components within. The role that they need to play is really important. Hence, specifically around the controls, letting off the embedment of the controls, and also ensuring that the financial statements are submitted for the audit free from any misstatements. However, this has not yet been achieved, unfortunately, by both the department and also by the entity. So another role that we just need to the audit committee, to end the audit committee as well as the internal audit, to enhance their review process when it comes to the financial statements, to ensure that they are safe. And that can be done through the department or the entity can start maybe to prepare the financial statements on a quarterly basis. Comprehensive financial statement. In that regard, and then give it maybe to Auditor General to review them so that we can able to identify these red flags early in the process So by the year end, when submissions are made, those financial statements are free from bank statements. That is the one area that the internal audit, as well as the audit quality, can enhance for the improvement of financial statements. And then in terms of the, I think it's slide 20, Honorable Gomba, you highlighted the credential stimulus package. When you look at what has been spent versus what has been achieved, yes, there was a total amount was 108 million, and then the spend was 105, but that amounts to 98%. However, they only achieved the job creation of 75%. Yes, it is an area of concern because it does not, there is a contract strict when it comes to, and then particularly with it in the main reasons why there was a 75% spend, I mean, spend targeted, and then the amount is almost fully utilized. So my colleagues will feel you on that one. In terms of the thing, or another thing that you asked, another former is relating to the risk committee relationship between the risk committee internal audit as well as management. As far as I'm aware, there is a proper relationship between the two stakeholders, and they are working together to improve the department, the department and entities' outcomes. As we have seen in terms of the overall improvement of the outcomes, but there's still a lot to be done around the performance, which is the key area. So when you want to see all the targets that have been, set themselves to ensure that this service delivery and the impact in the ordinary citizens of the country is still the key area that they need to enhance and strengthen as well as the audit committee. Just to come as well to Honorable Matumba, in terms of the preparation of the financial statement and some of the procurement challenges and the job creation and what has been spent in terms of the overall budget, both salaries versus the service delivery. I will answer some of the questions in this area, mm-hmm. and then I will allow my colleagues to fill in the gaps. As you can see, the main reason for the non-achievement of some of the key targets is around three areas, basically. It's procurement challenges, it's COVID impact, and also the litigation. So those are the three, I think, main areas that hinder the department, nor all the entities, in achieving those adjustments. But who is accountable in terms of these procurement challenges? I think the accounting officer overall is the one who takes accountability in overall in terms of ensuring that the department is executing its mandate accordingly. In terms of the job creation of the jobs, yes, those jobs are not permanent, they are short in nature, hence we are recommended that the department should ensure that the jobs that are being created are the sustainable jobs, so that we can also address the triple challenge, one of the triple challenges in terms of the unemployment within the country. So it is critical, at your point, that those job creation are really permanent in nature and sustainable jobs. In that way, we'll be able to contribute even significantly to the South African economy and actually to the GDP. And then Honorable Maneli, in terms of the planning, yes, you rightly pointed it out that in terms of this presidential stimulus package, probably the planning in terms of the coordination between the role players that are affected was not properly done. Not properly followed, and probably sharing some of the sentiments, and probably because it was a new maybe package, and then also the delays that we experienced hindered the full delivery of the project. And to come to you, Honorable Chair, the Auditor General did highlight on the general report that was presented to Parliament in November 2021. In terms of the repeat findings around the statement, around irregular expenditures due to non-compliance with the supply chain management processes, a conflict of interest by the officials and some of the payments that were made to invalid the beneficiaries in regard to the tourism guide fund. So yes, we do agree that those are the things that we care if we care. We probably have been elevated to this report to ensure what the committee needs to enforce to ensure the non-recurrence in these areas, because these are the areas that are in recurring. And we do acknowledge that we do have to elevate that kind of message, but to help the committee to exercise its accountability in these repeat findings areas in terms of the irregular expenditure. And what we can help the committee to assist the committee in this regard, how to deal with these matters. First of all, is the quarterly reporting. Management will need to report to itself on a quarterly basis. One of the key areas in terms of the quarterly basis is to scrutinize, as Honorable Matumba said, scrutinize those quarterly reports to ensure that the areas that are content, this is kind of a recurring one, are being addressed. And the action plan as well should be one of the reports that is being tabled to yourself to monitor, and then they need to give you a detailed specifics on the key areas that are of concern to yourself, with the recurring items, on how the department is what is, and that should be supported, of course, by the evidence on site. But as the Auditor General, we can also play our critical role in assisting the department and also the entity in achieving green administration through what we call as an interim audit. So an interim audit is something that you come in very early before the audit starts, maybe 6 months before the audit starts. Just help the department and say, you've got 6 months now closer to year end. Let's see what you have done so far in terms of addressing our findings. How are you doing with your action plan? And then highlight those areas and then give them to start implementing and correcting. But most importantly, the embedding of controls as well is very critical in the process to ensure that the embedding is the controls that are put in place, the present time audit committee needs to play a role. The controls that are in place are the controls that are preventative, that can detect and correct the mistake before it has become. But you can play that role of highlighting the red flags so that management can assist in terms of dealing with those areas. And I will just look to the team to fill in some of the gaps and some of the areas that I could not respond to, if you allow me.
If I can start, Chairperson. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, for the valuable questions that you have raised. Perhaps I can start by saying there is alignment with ourselves in terms of the ultimate goal, what the portfolio needs to achieve. It's not enough to just get a qualified finding, an unqualified opinion with findings. Those findings need to be eradicated, those findings need to be removed. Yeah, you are right, Chairperson, that when you compare to last year, there are still those findings that are carried, which Nabakama has highlighted. We do share the same sentiment that it has a portfolio need to achieve in administration, and they can only do so by removing all these findings, and not only in administration, but even the sensitive value. And you are right, Honorable Otumba, that there has to be a certain virtue that are created, and that's what we're mentioning in our report, that the department needs to ensure that they can do simple jobs. Perhaps what will be important as part of the APP, as part of the annual performance plan review and the allocation of the budget, to be critical that the targets that are set by the department, they deal with the simple job as opposed to part-time job. I think that will assist. And from our side, Honorable Komba, we do regular engagement with the accounting officers, and we do review the action plan, and we have committed ourselves to review the action plan. And as part of that process, we will ensure that it does cover, for example, the issue around the procurement, and go to the specific levels in terms of what are the challenges that the department needs to resolve. For example, the issue of procurement plan. But procurement plan needs to be deliberate. You need to have the specific timeline that address. When are you going to do a procurement? That will ensure that each individual has the best part of that is held accountable. As much as the accounting officer that is responsible, but the individuals that are not just that they within their functions, they need to be held accountable. And we can commit to do that as part of the agent plan, so that the department does take that into account as well. With the target that talks to the job, for the job creation. We'll look at that as part of the action item that the department will be putting forward. Therefore, we can provide an infrastructure for the whole. That will also assist you as part of the overall exercise of a fight. And we will also recommend that those discipline are tabled in the portfolio for scrutiny.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and to the honourable members for the questions. I will deal with the remaining questions, honourable Chairperson. The first question was from honourable Moore around the lack of internal controls, and the question was what exactly is lacking in terms of internal controls. Part of the presentation, we have a slide that deals with root causes that resulted in the key findings that we have raised, and part of the findings and the root causes was around the lack of review of financial statements or inadequate review of the financial statements. The absence of preventative controls to ensure that instances of non-compliance with supply chain management prescripts are prevented rather than dealing with them when they've occurred, as well as lack of monitoring of implementation of controls and processes and activities that will enable the department and the entity in terms of achieving its targets and desired impact in terms of service delivery. Then the other question was on the relationship between internal audit and audit committee. Yes, I can confirm that that relationship does exist between the two parties. But what is also important is that when you look at the accountability system, those two parties are internal to the portfolio, either when you're looking at the department or the entity. They are much closer to the process than we are as we come later in the audit process. So our emphasis is that those processes need to enhance in terms of the level of scrutiny around the financial controls that are in place, around the preventative controls that are in place to prevent instances of irregular personal wasteful expenditure. Then Honorable Komba also raised a question around responses from the department around the challenges that they experienced in the implementation of the Presidential Employment Stimulus Package. Part of the discussion that was held was on the hourly rate, the minimum wage that did increase in the prior year, which went up to 23 rand, and I think the previous amount was 20 rand. So there was a slight increase in the hourly rate that is regulated. So that also contributed in the number of jobs created being much lower than envisaged. And that disjuncture is a concern for us, nevertheless. It is a concern. And then when it comes to the question that Honorable Matumba raised on the financial statements for both the department and the entity were prepared internally by officials of the department. But what we found to be lacking was the timelines around the preparation of the financial statements and the submission to all the relevant parties that needed to review those financial statements to ensure that the credibility of those financial statements is enhanced and the quality is at the level at which it should be. I do share, and the HSA team, we do share the same sentiments with you that we want to see more jobs of a permanent nature being created rather than jobs that are short-term in nature, as they do not address the overall job challenges and the employment rate that we have in the country. I think I have addressed all the remaining questions. Thank you very much.
Honourable Gomba, follow up. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the opportunity again, Honourable Chairperson. Chair, my question to the AG is to find out if they were able to identify the SMART principle. I think you all understand the SMART acronym about SMART. Whether they confine their budget and objectives and goals, align them to check whether they are realistic, you know, that SMART concept. Are they doing that, or they just budget without measuring whatever they want to do, whether it will be achievable or not, and whether there has been this underspending or overspending. I don't hear that also from your presentation. I don't get any sense there. Hence, it is important for me to want to know whether are they smart or they just budget and see as they get results or the outcomes. Thank you.
Honorable Winkler, followed by Honorable Matumba.
In terms of FAP expenditure incurred about the same way to approval of 1.5, is it possible to give us the actual handling example of what the exact expenditure was? Then, for example, the NGT tender not awards the highest score in bidder. What's the exact nature of that one? Quotation for what? Preference for system not applied correctly. What are the preference points system and what was not included for the They ensure the marketing procurement on which the bidding process is not followed. So the rest couples on their face, I think around 4 million. Again, what is the nature of that? In terms of the internal audit committee, with the why are there recurring findings? Why has the internal audit committee not heeded the recommendations of the AG office repetitively? It makes no sense that you have a body whose sole function is to ensure that it's exercising its auditing commitment, but then repetitively does the same thing over and over and comes up with the same findings. So what is the next step? If the continual repetitive findings, we, the internal audit committee has failed to heed the recommendations. What is the next step? Because otherwise, I'll be going to sit here 10 years from now and say this is a recurring finding. What is the, I think, the consequence management for poorly performing internal audit committee? That's what I'd like to know. Then the other one is the nature of that written off irregular expenditure, which is about 34.9 million. Could you explain this amount? What does that constitute for? Then, just with regard to the Tourism Guide Fund, you had said that 51,700 have been recouped and 736,000 have not been recouped. Of the 51,700 recouped, where does this money come from? Who did they recoup this from, essentially? And is part of this from government officials that were found to have applied for the tourism fund grant and received that, or is that still part of the 736,000 that is being investigated at present? Because I don't think that's even issues that got to do with Home Affairs at all. So I want to know, is it just because of the proper value of Home Affairs that we've not recouped over 500,000 in a year? Or are there other impediments in the nature of that other 51,000? Where does it come from? And then,
thank you, Chair. I'm just extending from the previous speaker. She touched exactly where I wanted to touch. You see, if you look in most of the reports, we are now relying on either AG, MPA, SIU, or whistleblowers. Seems like internal audit is just there to be there. We rely on them. We'll find this thing should have been picked up by them, but they don't pick it up. We get it from whistleblowers. And we ask the question, what was their duty? then what is to happen to them if these things are occurring like this? Court litigations. We also need to understand what kind of litigations are these, because we have government officials who sometimes have this behavior of thinking they are untouchable because they can use department's money for litigation. Where litigation can be avoided, they just go straight with a service provider and go and fight in court and lose. So we need to know who's accountable here. What form of litigation is this? Because I think they appeared there. I saw it twice that they couldn't achieve because of court litigation. So we need to understand what is really happening. And on the accountability, you said the accounting office. You see, Chair, you need to understand that, I'm sorry, but I have to say this. The reason why the apartheid government, they kept on voting for it, is because it carried its mandate and implemented perfectly. That is why white people continued to vote for it. Had it failed on its mandate, they were going to remove it very fast. But it implemented. Why did it implement? Because those who were in government had something called Afrikaner compatriotism. They went to work carrying the whole Afrikaners in them to say, I'm doing this for my nation. So what we like, you find someone who just don't do their work. And then CFO every time must take the fall. That's why we say we must be able to put CFO aside and go straight to the perpetrator. I gave you an example to say in this municipality they were all hiding behind the CFO, right? But we had to look, no, the CFO is not the one who's a problem. Departments themselves are the ones that are not sending specifics to the CFO. So we just have lazy individuals who just don't want to do their work. And if we don't go directly to them, they will forever hide behind the leadership that we are going to remove and put someone new. They collapse, the new person will put, they will continue to collapse because they're the ones who are a problem. If it needs be, you will find that you just have a driver of a car in the department who just choose to drive it the way you want. We must be able to go and attack that one. Because we can't have people who just don't want to do their work. Thanks.
AJ? Thank you so much, Honorable Minister, for the The second is Honorable Gamba, in terms of whether the performance information that meets the MAS principle standard. The SEC can confirm that the annual performance information that has been submitted for all purposes was credible and was useful and meets the MAS principle. And in terms of the underspend, yes, we did identify there was an underspend. And I think it was mainly as well in some areas, not all areas. And then the main reason for that as well, as we alluded earlier, was pertaining to some of the challenges that are currently having in terms of the procurement, or in terms of the hardship and the budget due to procurement challenges, or COVID-related, or any litigation issues. So yes, there is an unspent, and we all can agree that unspent is not something that need to be encouraged or being we don't want any department making profit once the money that are supposed to be used for service that are allowed to be spent accordingly. So yes, there is an unspent in some key areas in their budget approach.
Winkler, you mentioned, I will give the petition to go into such details in terms of the regular expenditure, what it means, and also the nature of the amounts that have been written for. I've condoned by the National Treasury of 34 million. I'll tell my colleagues to go through that one, and also the actual who and the basic beneficiaries in terms of the tourism guide fund, who, where this money was recovered from, which beneficiaries the officials or not. And then in terms of the litigations, I think Amar Makimba, I think the litigation that is currently underway, I think is mainly relating to the Tourism Equity Fund. I think the Equity Tourism Fund was meant to offer grant funding to black industrialists in the tourism sector. And then that program was halted due to court interdict by other parties. So the delay in this was literally outside the control of the department, and it does negatively impact the transformation of the tourism industry. So that is the main court case that is relating, and then the team will also add some of the court cases that are currently underway. We can over to you then.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The question that Honourable Winkler raised around the five pillars in terms of details that needs to be provided. The three quotations not obtained at NTT relate to the ministerial cook-off that happened last year where quotations were not obtained. South African Tourism matter under competition, which is 4.47 million rand, relates to the I Do Tourism campaign that was implemented 3 years ago by South African Tourism. There was an investigation that was requested by the former CEO in terms of the process that was followed, and the conclusion of that investigation was that the entity had not followed the procurement process when procuring for the goods that we require for that I Do Tourism campaign. And then under fairness, tender not awarded to the highest scoring bidder at NTT. This relates to a security contract for a period of about 3 years where the highest scoring bidder was not awarded the contract. So the contract was awarded to the second scoring bidder. This matter is under investigation by the department, and the accounting officer had engaged the National Treasury on this matter in terms of getting assistance to get to the bottom of whether or not all the appropriate steps that would need to be taken around this matter. And then Equity deals with preference point system not applied. So there is a preference point system emanating from preferential procurement policy framework around BEE scorecard and price in terms of evaluation to determine who should be winning the tender. So in South African Tourism, for the procurement for internal audit services, more on the support side of it, we found that the preference point system was not applied correctly due to incorrect calculation of preference points, which resulted in irregular expenditure. Then the last part being the transparency matter around approval that was not obtained in South African Tourism. It relates to a partnership that South African Tourism entered into with the Eastern Cape Tourism Authority on the sponsorship for a boxing match. So two officials from South African Tourism entered into an agreement without the approval of the executive authority. Committee. So the executive authority is delegated to approve transactions of that nature. But the two officials entered into that agreement without the approval of the executive authority, which then resulted in this expenditure being declared irregular. Important to note on this matter is that the entity has not released this payment. So while the money is due by set to the provincial authority, the payment has not been made. The entity only indicated that payment will only be released once the investigation is complete around this matter. So payment is yet to be made. But there is contravention that we identified in terms of approval being obtained at the right level. Then in terms of the write-off of irregular expenditure of 34.63 million rand, the biggest contribution of this write-off or the source of the write-off relates to irregular expenditure from 2018-19 and 2019-20, which had to undergo consequence management processes within the department. It related mainly to instances of local content requirements that were not met, competitive bidding processes not followed, and matters around quotations being obtained from at least three service providers. So that irregular expenditure was subjected to an investigation, and after that investigation, consequence management was then applied in terms of disciplinary action being taken against affected officials. And it was after that that the department was in a position to request National Treasury to consider this for condemnation. Then on the recovery of the Tourist Guide Fund, as my colleague has indicated, that 51,700 rand has been recovered, well, as of the 31st of March 2022. Of the recoveries that have been made, 16 relates to employees in the service of state. Four of the employees of the state are paying back the money, but they're paying it in installments, so they haven't fully paid the amount. Four were found to be ward committee members, so they're not officially employees of the state, but they are ward committee members at municipal level, so those could not be pursued any further. And eight of the cases are being processed by the department store, considering the requests that have been made by the individuals in terms of clarity on why they still claim from the relief fund. So those will be followed up during the next audit to understand what stance has the department taken in terms of considering the recommendation or the request from those individuals. In terms of double dipping, those that received both UIF and Tourist Guide Fund, 23 individuals did pay back the money in full, five are paying in installment, and the remaining are being considered for write-off due to written representations that they put through to the department. Then around litigation, Honorable Matumba, over and above the court interdict that has been put through on the Tourism Equity Fund, there were issues that were linked to the Constitutional Court judgment on the constitutionality of the preferential procurement policy framework, which was then followed by an instruction from National Treasury that procurement is to be halted. And that did bring about challenges in terms of procurement activities post the judgment. So that was the other cause for procurement delays, which are litigation based. Thank you very much.
Is there any further questions, Honorable Member? Honorable Gundy.
Thank you, Chair. So after the 51,700, 16, as you said, were employees in the service of the state, and then you gave the breakdown. Now, what about the balance, the 736,000 that hasn't been recouped? What is the breakdown of those who are owing under that category of the 736,000?
So of the remaining balance, most are being processed in terms of considering the written representation, because the department had requested that the individuals provide responses to them. So they are ongoing engagements around the consideration and the requests that have been put through. There were debts
debt agreements that we signed with some of the parties. Some have paid, some have paid, but they're paying in installments, and we're not in a position to pay the full amount immediately. Yeah, I think the biggest chunk of this is in the process of being dealt with by the department in terms of considering the written submissions that they've made. So there's still a lot of work that needs to be done here. Hence, it will be important that this be monitored on an ongoing basis until such time that sufficient recovery has taken place, where there is justification for recovery to take place, because this does affect the objective of the relief effort in terms of whether the money was paid to the right individuals. So that is going to be crucial.
I see no indication of further questions. And on that note, I thank the Auditor General for always presenting the outcome to the portfolio committee and make recommendations which as honorable members are expected to ensure that they are implemented, and ensuring that the department adhered to those recommendations by the Auditor General. And this meeting is adjourned. And thank you very much. Safe journey if you are traveling to other provinces. And keep up the good work. We are remaining as honorable members for another session. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. No.